I mentioned at the beginning that today is the beginning of National Bible Week. This is what the instruction says about this week. All Filipinos are enjoined for 1 week to focus on the reading and studying of the Bible toward the nation's spiritual, moral, and social stability. It begins on Monday and closes on Sunday, Bible Sunday. So next Sunday, Bible Sunday. It's fitting that yesterday the Pope named that day the Sunday of the Word of God, and in the Gospel yesterday, Jesus stood up and read from the Bible, what we would call the Old Testament. He read from the prophet Isaiah. So it's quite a striking thing to reflect on Jesus reading from the Old Testament, because he's the Word of God. He's reading the Word of God. So they're hearing the Word coming from the Word, and then he says, this Word is fulfilled in your hearing. So it's many, many levels of the Word of God being revealed in yesterday's Gospel. Well, since it's National Bible Week, let me mention a question that sometimes rises when people start thinking about the Bible. They say, well, what about the Old Testament? What good is it? I mean, now that we have Jesus and he's the fullness of revelation and he's fulfilled all the prophecies, why do we need the Jebusites and the Exodus and David and all these people? Why don't we just focus on Jesus? He's the center of our religion. I think people who follow the daily liturgy don't ask that, because you get used to the richness of the Old Testament when you follow all those instructions day by day. But people do ask this, or at least wonder, why do we bother with the Old Testament? And the reason is because this is also God's word to us, and the Old Testament sheds light on the New Testament. If we want to know Jesus, we have to know David. If you want to know if we want to understand fully the revelation of how we are saved, we have to know the story of the Exodus and the rescue from slavery in Egypt, which prepares for the great rescue that Jesus wins for us in his death and resurrection. So there's no problem with the Old Testament as long as we see it in light of its fulfillment. Now, I mention this because of today's first reading, Old Testament reading from 2nd Book of Samuel, about David. David, who is rising in his power and is named king. Remember, Saul's already dead, so the people say, well, we need a king, and David obviously is the one, because God has given him this role. And here in this reading, David establishes his capital in Jerusalem. So there's a lot of connections here that help us understand what Jesus is doing. Remember, in yesterday's reading, Jesus, in reading the book of Isaiah, said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he has anointed me. When you see the word anointed, you can think Messiah, because that's what Messiah means, anointed. So when Jesus reads that scripture, he's reading a prophecy about the Messiah, and that Messiah was understood by the Jews to be a new David, another great king who could establish Israel as the center of the world, draw everyone to the revelation of God. So they're expecting a new David. And remember, the prophets promised that David's throne would remain forever, that one of his descendants would reign forever. So, of course, they're wondering, well, who is this David who's going to reign forever? And what does that even mean? Jesus stands up and says, well, this is fulfilled in your hearing. I'm the anointed one. I'm the one who has received the Spirit. I'm the one who's sent to proclaim good news to the poor. I'm the Messiah. That's basically what he was saying. And that's why it was such a stunning thing to say in the little synagogue of Nazareth, and maybe that's why they rejected him. Nobody could stand up and make such a great claim. No little carpenter could claim to be the Messiah, but that's exactly what he did. Jesus spends a lot of his time journeying to Jerusalem and establishing the kingdom in Jerusalem, and we know that's where he dies and rises again. So the city of Jerusalem is a big part of the plan of God. But Jerusalem was not always a big city, and it was not always even barely a place. David is the one who established it. I mean, there was a little town there, but David decided when he was king of both the north and the south, he needed a capital that would be accessible to the north and the south, and he chose this Mount Zion and said, I'm going to put up my capital here. It was under the control of the Jebusites at the time, and so we read in today's reading, the Jebusites said to David, you cannot enter here, the blind and lame, and the lame will drive you away. So it's an insulting way of saying, you're so weak, even a blind man can beat you up. But that's kind of what they're saying. So don't even try. You'll never be able to come and take over Jerusalem. I think the mention of the blind and the lame, though, is significant because you know how many prophecies talk about what happens when the Messiah comes, the blind shall see and the lame shall walk. Even yesterday, Jesus, in reading from Isaiah, said, I have come to give sight to the blind. So here's the establishment of Jerusalem, not the blind and the lame rejecting the Messiah, but the blind and the lame receiving the ministry of the Messiah. Jesus comes for the blind and the lame. So David was told he can't enter, but he did. He took the stronghold of Zion. Zion is the name of the mountain or the big hill. He put a city on a hill because it's a good place that you can defend the city on a hill. And it's also symbolic of a city that is a light to the whole world. You cannot hide a city on a hill. It's a light to the nations. So that's all preparation for Jesus coming to Jerusalem and bringing good news to the poor. Fulfilling the prophecies that spoke about David, that spoke about the Messiah, that spoke about Jerusalem, that spoke about a king that reigns forever. It's all happening when Jesus comes. Well, here he is in today's gospel, and he's driving out demons and proclaiming the kingdom. And along comes some scribes from Jerusalem, of all places, the very place where they should be most welcoming of the Messiah. And they say, he is possessed by the prince of demons. He's driving out demons by demonic power. That is a very serious charge, to accuse someone of being possessed and to be under the authority of Satan. It's especially serious to make that charge against the very one who has come to overthrow Satan's kingdom. So it's about the worst mistake you can make, to think that what is good is evil, and to announce that what is of God is from the devil. That's about as bad as you can get. Now Jesus, instead of reacting with indignation, decides to show them how wrong they are. And he gives these descriptions of a kingdom divided, a house divided. How can a divided house stand? How can a divided house or divided kingdom have any hope of even existing, much less dominating? Then he uses the analogy of a strong man who is in control of his own house. He said, you can't take You can't take anything from his house while the strong man is still in charge. The strong man is Satan. So the first thing you have to do is tie up the strong man. That's what he says. You have to tie up the strong man. Then you can take stuff out of his house. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He drives out demons. So what he's doing here is he's completely reversing the accusation against him. It's ridiculous to call him an agent of Satan. He's tying up Satan and plundering his house. He's rescuing the captives. He's setting the captives free, as he said he would do in yesterday's gospel. He's fulfilling the prophecies, and the prophecies are of rescue from darkness, rescue from slavery, not deeper slavery. So what we're doing here as we begin National Bible Week is we're rejoicing in what has been revealed, promised in the Old Testament, fully revealed, fulfilled in Jesus' own ministry, and then we apply it to ourselves. We're the blind, we're the lame, we're the captives, we're the ones who are still sometimes deceived by Satan. If anyone's a house divided, it's us. If any family is divided, it's the human family. We need a savior. But thanks be to God, Jesus has come to tie up the strong man and to rescue us.